Hello everyone, it's good to be bringing you another video today. I just wanted to begin with a quick set of reminders of how we're going to be doing things in order to be able to have our worship service on Sunday. And so for the time being, we're asking that everyone wear a mask except for small children. If you don't have a mask, we have some here at the church, or if you forget one, we will have one for you. Just come on in and you can grab one at the door. We're also asking that everyone stay 6 feet apart from one another. If you can, all the rows are 6 feet apart. And we're asking that outside of your family unit, you sit 3 chairs apart from everyone else. We're not going to be having any children's ministry, so there's no nursery, there's no junior church. But we've shortened the services to help with the families with young kids. They're about 40 to 45 minutes instead of longer. The sermon's about half as long as it normally is to just help with those families. And you know, we're being patient with one another. We know that it's hard for kids to sit that long. Zeke actually ran away from us this past Sunday, and I had to chase after him. And I just thank you for those who are around us that were gracious to us during that time. And so we're just going to continue to love one another through this. We're going to have the nursery and the youth room and the fellowship hall all closed on Sunday morning. That helps us with the cleaning. If you want to go to the library, or if you want to set up a counseling session with Pastor Paul or myself, those things are available by appointment only. We're happy to open for you, but if someone goes into the library, we'll clean the library. And so we want to know if you're going to be doing that. So just call and set up an appointment. We're also not going to be passing any plates, so offering's going to be collected at the end of the service. You can just drop your offering in one of the baskets as you leave the service. So we're just doing all of these things to be as safe as possible. And we just thank you again for your patience and your love for one another as we endure these safety measures for the time being. I know it's hard. We don't like it, but it is out of love that we're doing it for one another. So we just thank you again for that. Now, let's get started. You guys already know that I am a bit of a dork when it comes to the Lord of the Rings. And so I feel comfortable sharing this story with you because you're not going to think I'm an even bigger dork. But I started a while back listening to a podcast where the host, he reads through the Lord of the Rings paragraph by paragraph, and then he stops and discusses it. So he makes observation, he answers questions, and then he continues. And so right now there's actually over 150 episodes of this, and he's only about halfway through the first book of the trilogy. And so I'm not telling you that so you will think I'm weird, or because I don't know why I'm telling you that. You probably do think I'm weird now. But I'm telling you this not because of that, not because I want you to think I'm weird, but because something happened in one of the most recent episodes that really shocked me. And so one of the listeners who was listening to him do it live asked a question about a character that challenged my assumption about this character. And the question began, is there any textual evidence that, and then he goes on with the question. But the answer to the question was no. There is absolutely no evidence to believe what I and what the host actually had believed about this character. Now, I've read The Lord of the Rings at least 15 times. And I've listened to the audiobook of it probably more than 20 times. The host of this podcast is widely known in Tolkien circles as the Tolkien Professor. And he was in the same boat as I was. Now, there's nothing in the text that disproves the assumption that we both held, but there's also nothing in the text that indicates or even implies that either. The text is completely silent on the matter. And I just sat there in shock at this assumption that I had carried for several years with no justification. And it raised the question, what do we do when the text is silent? Now, I still maintain that the assumption that I held about this particular character was correct, and it's what Tolkien originally intended, even if he never directly stated it. But I'm left to make that decision on my own, and my own knowledge and understanding of the text that we are given. And when I got to this point, it was at that point that I was no longer thinking about the Lord of the Rings podcast. We are living in strange times, and I don't think unprecedented is the right word. But we're facing things that many of us have never seen in our lives before. And the news media and with social media, we have 10,000 opinions thrown at us on every issue before breakfast. And we make assumptions on headlines before we even read a story. Last night, I saw a clip from Fox News, and the graphic at the bottom proclaimed in all caps what we believe is heresy. It said, "No child is born evil and sin cannot be inherited." Yeah, that sounds nice. We would like to believe that our children are sweet and innocent, but the Bible tells us a different story, and that statement is heresy. The point of the video is not to dive in on this issue. The point of this video is to show us that we are bombarded with messages all day, every day. And we have to be people of discernment. I want to read an account from the book of Acts. So turn with me in your Bible to Acts chapter 17. And this is Paul's second missionary journey. Paul had separated with Barnabas at this point, and his chief companion on this journey is Silas. And so chapter 17 begins with Paul and Silas in Thessalonica preaching the gospel in the synagogue. And many of the Jews in this area, in Thessalonica, were upset by this. They were upset by the message that they were hearing. They were jealous of the attention that Paul and Silas were getting. And so they stir up this crowd to chase Paul and Silas out of Thessalonica. And it works, and Paul and Silas go to Berea. And many of you might be familiar with this text, but I just want to take a look at it. And so starting in verse 10, this is what the text tells us. "The brothers immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went to the Jewish synagogue. Now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Many of them therefore believed, with not a few Greek women of high standing, as well as the men." The Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Why? Because they eagerly heard the words of Paul, and then they verified the message in scripture. They were eager to learn and to grow, but they were people of discernment. They would not accept a message just because it sounded good or because of who the messenger was. They verified what they heard in scripture. And this is something that the text commends them for. And this is something that we as pastors, we remind you often. We say, don't just take our word for it. Check the scriptures. This is why we encourage you to bring your own Bible to church and to follow along when we preach on Sunday. This is why I encourage you to follow along with me in your Bible during these videos, because I want you to know that what I'm saying is grounded in Scripture. It's not something that I'm making up. It's not my own opinion. These are the words, or this is the Word of God. It's from God's Word. But this shouldn't be the only time that you use the Word of God to verify a message that you have heard. The lesson we learn from the Jews in Berea should not be that we only fact check our pastors or those who preach religious messages to us. It shouldn't be that we only verify the gospel. We should examine the scriptures to see if everything we hear is true. And spoiler alert, it isn't. I began this video with a story about a character from The Lord of the Rings. It is trivial. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter within the story itself. It literally changes nothing. And it changes even less in real life. But there are assumptions that we make. There are beliefs that we hold, each and every one of us, that don't line up with Scripture. Now, I can't sit here today and tell you what those beliefs are, but I can tell you that each of us has blind spots. We all do. It doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. It doesn't matter how diligently you have studied the Word of God. We all still have them. Each and every one of us has a flawed view on something. It could be political, like a tax policy or healthcare. It could be something about the church, like what color the carpet is, or whether or not you should be able to wear a mask or not, or should have to wear a mask or not. It could be the music you listen to, the television shows you watch, the way that you think or talk to other people, the way you think about people. It could be anything. It could be everything. It could even be your hopes and dreams for your life. Before we think, say, or do anything, we should first ask ourselves, does this line up with Scripture? Is this a biblical thing to say, think, or do? Paul, in his letter to the Thessalonians, says this. This is Thessalonians 5, starting in verse 20. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now remember, this is the town, the very town, that he was run out of by an angry mob. And then, when the angry mob heard that he was in Berea, they went there to run him out of town again. He knows what these believers are facing, and he encourages them. Don't despise prophecies. Don't just automatically throw out any word that comes to you. Don't just dismiss those who come with a message, but test it. Test it as the Bereans did. Test it according to Scripture and see where it stands. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from all evil. That is our calling. To hold fast to what is good and to despise evil. We must cherish what Scripture has revealed to be true. This means that we need to test everything according to Scriptures. In a video from a few months ago, I revealed that I had been spending a lot of time on social media since the whole coronavirus thing started. And I've actually tried to cut out that habit because I've found that it's not good for me. I have this policy about not getting into arguments with people on social media. It's really difficult to convey tone, and so it's nearly impossible to politely disagree with someone. It almost nearly is understood as challenging or aggressive, and so I just don't do it. But I have been incredibly frustrated at times with what I've seen. And it's not just because there are a lot of things that I see that I disagree with, but because I have seen a lot of things shared that simply aren't true. And I know they're not true because when I saw it, I fact-checked it. And it took me very little time to find that the story or the numbers or the implication being made simply wasn't true. One that I remember was a quote that was attributed to C.S. Lewis in 1942. Except that Lewis said nothing of the sort. It was something that was written about 3 months ago, and the original poster didn't attribute it to Lewis. It was their own idea that was released on their own personal Facebook page. But someone took it, slapped on an artsy background, and gave credit to C.S. Lewis, and it spread like wildfire. Many of these things like this that are being shared were people who profess to be Christians. And I worry that if we just blindly accept these things, and if we're so cavalier with truth in these areas, are we doing the same thing with what we believe about God? Do we get our theology by things that just sound good? Things that we want to believe? Are we making a God in our own image instead of forming our theology by what God has revealed to us through His Word. We need to be careful what we take in, what we accept to be true. Even if it's from a source that you trust, none of us are perfect. None of us have everything figured out, and so none of us are incapable of being deceived. Eve walked with God in the garden. She saw Him. She knew Him. She saw His beauty and goodness, and she was still deceived by the serpent. We must be careful. We need to take our long-held beliefs and put them to the test. Evaluate them. And not against what sounds good on social media, not against what our favorite news channel might tell us, not against what our political party might say, but against what God, the creator of the universe, has said. We need to live lives of consistent discernment. We need to be vigilant in what we believe and what we say. For if we are in Christ, we are to be His ambassadors. We are His witnesses. It is our job to proclaim the gospel. We cannot muddy the waters with falsehood. We must test everything. Hold fast to what is good and abstain from every evil. We must do this. We must use the gift of discernment that we have through the Spirit. We cannot be so cavalier with truth. We must test it according to Scripture. So I pray that you will do this, that you will take time to examine what you have taken in. Is this what Scripture says? Question it. Don't just accept things at face value. We must pursue the truth. We must be the champions of truth. And we hold fast to what is good. We'll see you on Sunday.